Hey everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Frank About Health. It is January 22nd, 2026, and I am proud to say that while I was going to be discussing invisible illnesses, I thought I was going to be doing it by myself. But today, surprise guests are those that have mastered the art of not just discussing invisible conditions, but also treating them using Eastern medication and medicine, medical techniques, as well as other kinds of spiritual and well mindfulness practices that we will discuss about today. And we will also shed light on what exactly are invisible illnesses and make or conditions and make them more visible to the naked eye. That being said, my first guest is Jeff Pearson, who is the host of his own health television show on E360 TV, known as Invisible Conditions. He also has a YouTube channel that features each episode. And returning to Frank About Health is Dr. Tom Ingenio. After last December, when he was helping me during a time when I was transitioned out of my home, but at the same time at a nice ritzy location, we were talking about a movement of bringing together communities to deal with different healthcare situations during a government shutdown, as well as other kinds of progress that we are all going to be seeking in 2026. Now, that all being said, this is the perfect forum to discuss invisible conditions. I will issue my usual disclaimer. These are not the views of talkradio.nyc or of Frank About Health, but they are very important food for thought for you if you are suffering from an invisible condition, which could be epilepsy, autism, hydrocephalus, which you'll learn more about in today's episode, as well as any other kind of myriad of conditions that are neurologically in foundation but not visible to the naked eye. And that is what we want to do on today's episode: bring those conditions to awareness and show how we can collectively understand them as we see them in the future. So, welcome both to Jeff and to Tom. Jeff, as soon as you unmute, I would like you just to introduce yourself and go right into what your invisible condition is, because the only way to be frank about health is by saying it like it is.
Nice. Appreciate it, Frank. Thank you for being here. Great to see you again, Tom. This is awesome. I didn't expect this either. I thought it was just going to be the two of us, and then here comes Tom. This is great.
Yes.
Thanks for having me. My name is Jeff Pearson. I live in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and I was born with a condition that is ridiculously common, but very much invisible. Called hydrocephalus, which loosely translated, a lot of people know it by water on the brain. Basically, what happened to me is at 2 weeks old, well, I was born with the condition, and then at 2 weeks old, they detected it through a CT scan. They did did all those measurements they do when a baby's born. How long is the baby? How much does the baby weigh? And then they do a measurement right here around the cranium, around the top of the head.
Yes.
And that measurement didn't quite match up with the one they did at birth. It was a little bit outside the norm. They said, "Mom and Dad, let's get a CAT scan. It's probably nothing, but let's get a CAT scan just to be safe." Turns out it was something, and it was one of the ventricles in the brain. That those ventricles really are just to drain that fluid that the brain is always producing, and
Right.
one of those was not working right. It was blocked, and so that told the doctors that that I had hydrocephalus, and the solution in 1977 when I was born is very close to the solution now, and that's brain surgery. And so that was my introduction to the world at 2 weeks old, was emergency brain surgery. So at 2 weeks old, I went under the knife and they drilled a hole through my skull and threaded a little tube in there to access that fluid in my brain that wasn't draining, and attached a shunt to it, which is behind my right ear, under the skin, and then a tube to that that kind of drains that fluid somewhere else in the body to reabsorb. It's kind of like an artificial drainage system. And that is a
Right.
very common treatment for people with hydrocephalus. That is probably the most common thing they do to treat it, which is pretty invasive, but it's effective. Apparently, they've been using it for a long time. So
Right.
Anyway, that was my introduction to the world. That's the condition that I've lived with my entire life, and that has caused me to have about 15 surgeries over my lifetime. Seven of those are brain surgeries. Three of those brain surgeries were in my childhood, and four of those brain surgeries have been between 2014 and 2021. So it's been a wild ride around here the last 10 or 12 years, but we're still here. So.
Well, it's amazing because I know you're talking about the cerebral spinal fluid that goes up and down from the brainstem through the spinal cord and back and forth, trying to release whatever toxins are going on in our normal everyday brain processing. So, what would be the basis of you having been born with hydrocephalus? Was it genetic in nature, or was it due to something in utero?
No idea. They don't really look at why. I
Okay.
think that's a I think that question's kind of, especially now, 48, almost 49 years later, the question why is useless. I don't care why. It doesn't really matter. It's not gonna, it wouldn't matter why. It's just, let's fix it. Let's get to the bottom of how we can make this better, for the child. So I mean, I was born through an emergency C-section because the cord was apparently wrapped around my neck a couple times. So that probably, maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know. It's possible, but at this point, it doesn't really matter. The point, the main thing now is, how do we maintain the best health you can, and
Yes.
just pay attention to what your body's doing, so that if something does need to be addressed medically, I pay attention,
Oh, absolutely.
so.
So I guess if anything, almost like a car getting recalibrated when it has an engine misfire, you had to do these brain surgeries to get a shunt replacement or some kind of readjustment made, right?
Right. Exactly. Every time I've had that shunt replaced, it's been for a little bit different reason, but the underlying cause is because there's something in that shunt that malfunctioned, whether it was the tube that goes directly into the brain that got clogged, or the functionality of the shunt failed, or the cord. There was, when I was 18 years old, the cord wasn't growing at the rate that I, it wasn't sliding, growing with me. And so
Right.
it was causing the shunt to literally pull out of my head, which was extremely painful. And so I
Wow.
had pretty mind-numbing headaches for my whole junior and senior year, until we finally did the surgery after right after I graduated. But yeah, it's the symptoms are consistent, but a little different every single time, because the cause is usually different every time. But the main thing is, the shunt is failing somehow, and you can't have a failing shunt. It's, you're kind of dependent on that. So
Right,
yeah, you
right.
gotta get the replace the new one, get the new one in there. So yep.
So I gather this means hopefully in quite some time from now you'll be doing another brain surgery to get an adjustment. Is
God,
that the
I hope
anticipation?
not. I'm
I
done,
mean, I hope
man.
not too.
I'm
Maybe
good.
new technologies
I'm
and
good.
stuff. Who knows? Maybe it could be digital or something.
Who knows, man? You know what? Personally, I through some other non-medical, non-invasive alternative. I don't like that word, but I'm gonna use it because people understand what it means.
Right.
Alternative therapies. I'm really not planning. It's a kind of a longer story that we don't have time to get into now, but I'm
Sure,
really not
sure.
planning on any more brain surgeries if I can help it, based on some of the things that I've done in the last year or two. So, I mean, I'm, if God says I need to have another brain surgery, I'll have another brain surgery. But if, as far as I'm concerned, I'm good. I'm calling in at 7. So, I got too much to do, man. I can't be doing brain surgery all the time. So.
When Tom was last on the show, I was in the middle of my Voices of Disruption campaign, and it sounds like to me you would have been such a person during that time back in 2025, where you have been born with a disruption of sorts that you've had to
Yep.
manage through surgery. So what have you done about it to improve on your life? Obviously became an advocate, and I know you've created your own show about invisible conditions, but what was the motivation behind it? Like, what did you want to bring to the public awareness? The issue of hydrocephalus or something else as a result of it?
Well, so kind of funny. So first, before the TV show, I created a nonprofit called Hydro with Hope. And that was sparked because I was sitting in the exam room after the brain surgery I had to have in 2018, sitting there with my wife waiting for the neurosurgeon to come in and go over things. And I could hear, those walls are not very thick in those clinics. You can't hear the words that are being said, but you can hear the tone of the conversation. And it wasn't great. There was somebody in the next room that was not having a good day. And so the first thing that popped into my head was, I wonder if that's a family that's finding out their child is going to have brain surgery again to treat this crazy thing. And all I wanted to do was run next door to that room, burst through the door, give them a hug, tell them it was going to be okay, and answer their questions. Because I've got experience at this. This is my sixth brain surgery I've had. You know, let me help you. You know, but HIPAA doesn't like that when you go. The doctor's office don't like it when you just burst in the door. So I didn't. But on the way home from that appointment, my wife and I were thinking, you know, we got to do something. We got to do something. And then in 2022, we ended up landing on Hydro with Hope. We did it. We created it online so we could help anybody on the planet. And then through that, I was promoting that nonprofit at a conference, and I happened to meet Julianne through an introduction at that conference. And yes, the rest is history. And I launched the show Invisible Condition on April 4th of 2023. And we've been on twice a week ever since. It's been almost 3 years. So
I'm sorry. Excuse me. Finished that lesson. It's been on twice a week, and what happened from there?
Every Tuesday and Friday at noon Eastern for an hour. We've been on since April 4th, and that's that. I mean, the rest is history. We've just kept plugging along, kept finding amazing guests, and you're next, Frank. You got to be on the show next. We talked about it. I know we're talking about it. We got to get you on there too. So
when we get to my invisible condition, definitely.
Yeah, I'm in. Like, let's do it.
Get into that. That would be awesome. But the thing that I am interested in, though, is that I guess even with any of the invisible conditions that I was discussing at the beginning of the show, mm-hmm. the one thing that continues to pervade all of us is stigma and social repercussions, because people only perceive what they see. And especially if you're not the type of person, which I know I wasn't for so many years, to just say, hey, I've got epilepsy. You know, now I use it as a badge of honor, because it's the reason why I'm doing all of my different business ventures at this point and my healthcare advocacy on Frank About Health. But at the time, not knowing that it was actually, I don't know if you call it a superpower or my weapon to use for the benefit of the greater good, mm-hmm. I guess I'm hearing that you were able to just obviously create invisible conditions because you had the compassion hearing about another child possibly having such a condition that you wanted to help out. But aside from your empathy and your desire to share, did you become like a fighter of sorts to try to remove stigma, or did you have a mission that you really wanted to bring to the forefront?
You know, I think I just wanted to normalize it. When I was growing up, my parents could have gone two very different directions. They could have treated me as a very sick kid and hid me from society and told me, you're sick, you need to be in a bubble. Or they could have did what they did, and that's, you're normal, everything's cool. Every once in a while, you might have to have surgery. Go play. Go skin your knees, go skateboard, snowboard, play tennis, play whatever. Don't play football. You know, don't bang your head against things, you know, be smart. But so they gave me that freedom. And I think that is what has helped me. And that is what has given me the fortitude to be able to want to reach out and help others. So because I think if I had been sheltered, I probably would not have been excited to do that.
So. Well, Tom, you introduced me to another fine leader, and I can't wait to get your overview on everything we've just heard from Jeff. But as you've probably been seeing the signal, we're about to go to our first break. So everybody, please stay tuned as we are discussing invisible conditions. And we will, of course, talk about your show, Invisible Conditions, later on in the hour. But everybody, please stay tuned right here on talkradio.nyc and on our YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitch channels. And if you have any questions, we're live. Just go ahead and go into the chat box and we will answer them right here for you. Please stay tuned.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. So, Tom, overall, what I'm amazed at is that I've always thought that epilepsy, for example, was the only invisible condition. It's about electrical discharge. There's nothing, no physical ailment, such as a tumor or something, some scar or whatever. But yet, when I've learned more and more about our common friend, Anshar, for example, how he's become a genius while living with autism, or even speaking to Jeff and hearing his story again right now for the last 15 minutes, there is still this common thread that I know Western medicine is just not equipped, or maybe they don't do enough research to manage other than the symptomology. So you, obviously being a student of Eastern medicine and acupuncture, can you tell me what would be your view as to how, for example, Jeff could be treated without having to go for another surgery? Maybe there's something you know of that you could help explain from your practice.
So, you know, it's let me, because you said a lot of great stuff in there, and I'm going to have to like clear up a little bit of a kind of a misconception, right? Sure. I think even when I was in school, when I first started school, it was kind of like this us versus them mentality, right? Like, oh, we're gonna do, and Jeff used the word that's still being thrown around all the time, is that alternative, right? We're gonna do the alternative to all of this, right? Best word we have. But it doesn't really give it credence. And when we look back through history, the practitioners of acupuncture, of East Asian medicine as a whole, were also surgeons. They were daifu. They were doctors, right? It wasn't one or the other. It was whatever helps get the patient better. Now, what I will say is there isn't, and especially now, look, I'm wearing scrubs. I just came from the office. I'm wearing scrubs because I want to be aligned with those Western practitioners, right? I want to be on the same page as them, because when you have a team of healthcare providers looking at you from every angle, that's where you really get the best outcomes, right?
Right.
And the viewpoint is different between Eastern and Western. That's the biggest thing, right? Western practitioners, and rightfully so, want to find that smallest. Is it an atom that is out of place? And what do I do? Do I take that out? Do I fix it? Can I turn it off? Right. And that's maybe a little bit more functional medicine than let's throw drugs and surgery at it. But East Asian medicine and more traditional practices, and I don't want to generalize on all of them, is what is that 10,000 foot view? Right. So the expression is snakes and eagles. Right. Right. We need the snake to be there on the ground looking at the littlest bit, but we also want the eagles, so we're not missing anything. And East Asian medicine really looks at your whole being health, right? What's your mental status? What is your psycho-emotional status? How does that play into your physical body, right? We have somatic therapy now and these things. And it's like, well, what is your body telling you about your mental state and vice versa, right? Oh, I got off the phone call with somebody I owe money to. Oh, you know, I'm very tight. Well, where's that hitting us? East Asian medicine as a whole takes that into consideration, right? So when somebody comes in, especially like, and I know Jeff has talked about this on his show, Frank, you probably have too, things like fibromyalgia. We call that a syndrome. Why? Because it's not really a disease. It's a collection of symptoms. Now, you'll even have people say, well, that doesn't exist, right? And it's like, no, it does. Why? Because most of the people that have it have similar experiences. We don't know exactly what it is. We have some theories. We know we press here. You say yes to a certain number of points. Great. You got it. But we don't have a correct way of treating it from a Western standpoint, because it's not one, you know, pathway. And Chinese medicine, East Asian medicine as a whole, wants to look at the sum total of all those. And rather than pigeonhole you into a, this is your diagnosis, here's these tendencies, here's these patterns that we see, and here's how we counteract that, right? How do we balance that out? So we're not curing something. We're not trying to fix a problem. We're trying to balance out the system, which is where we tend to have our biggest successes. When we really try and fix something, yeah, I might be able to get you out of some pain. I might be able to do this, but no, what I'm trying to do is stimulate your body to work better, right? So for things like Jeff, right? I'm not the one you want putting that stint in, right? Like don't do one. I will pass out if you put a hole in somebody's head. Definitely going down. You don't want me in the OR. Correct. But what can I do to increase circulation to the head and the brainstem? What can I do to reduce inflammation? Can I help what those Western practitioners did work better, last longer, those kind of things in that role? So how can we be partners in this is really where I think those patients are served the best. So yes, I've had patients come in and go, I don't want to see a Western doctor. And then I'm like, well, look, you're an adult. You do what you want to do. I would strongly recommend. And if we crack that open and we really go, well, what happened? And it might be a horrible experience due to a hospital system, due to a doctor that wasn't knowledgeable in their condition. And maybe I can sneak in a little like, how about you see one of my friends? You know, and it's not like, you know, I'm trying to get them to jump back on that horse just for the sake of that. But like, maybe I know somebody that can look at this a little bit more openly than just this is the part that's wrong. And here's how we take that out or tweak it. Wow, that was a long ramble there, Frank.
No, but I learned a lot from you because here I am getting answers to my questions such as, okay, you've got in Jeff's case, he has a shunt. Like I think you said next to your right ear, the back of your right, or okay, so that's your right ear. And I can only imagine that the cerebral spinal fluid is going through it and filtering through it and not leaking into the brain matter and other kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So I know that when I have done acupuncture in the past to slow down my brain waves, I would think maybe there's a slower pathway for the cerebral spinal mm-hmm. fluid to travel through acupuncture points. I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing. And I thought maybe it would reduce the need to have ongoing surgeries because the efficacy of the existing shunt mm-hmm. could be prolonged, right?
I mean, well, that's the core of it. How do we stimulate proper function is really at the core of what we're trying to do is, you know, my mentor one time described the needles as little arrows. Right. And not like something you shoot out of a bow. Right. But this like, hey, we need some attention along this pathway. We need some attention in this area. Hey, this point relates to, let's say, the back of the brain. Well, that might be on the ankle, but right. I know when I put that needle in, I'm having an effect at the other end of the system. Right. And oh, this is how we're getting those signals to fire. This is how we're telling the body, hey, you need some more attention here.
Absolutely. And so have you by default treated people with hydrocephalus or any kind of instruments in their brain that have?
Yeah. So not so much hydrocephalus. And I think it may be something where this is like my failure to educate, right? How it could be good. We see Chiari malformations. And that is something very weird because it's related. It's not the same. Okay. But basically, you got this foramen magnum, this big asshole. Oh, sorry. This big hole in the base of your skull that your brain, its stem comes through. Well, sometimes your brain's too big. You don't have enough room. And it puts pressure on the back of the brain and you get all these weird signs and symptoms. Now the intervention is surgical. Make that hole bigger, take a chunk of bone out so we have some room.
Yeah.
But the recovery is where I've actually been able to help a few patients, right? It's not that we're remapping their nerves. It's not that we're like restoring so much. It's just, can I get inflammation out of that area?
Right.
Like that's a big area we don't want inflamed. We don't want inflammation excessively anywhere, but
right.
core body functions in that brain, we don't want them to go away. So right. I've been able to help a lot with that. And a lot of those people, even post-surgery, even though the risk of death goes down, migraines, headaches, neurological symptoms. That's the occipital lobe, vision problems. So we're working with a lot of that. And that seems to be a little bit more common. And even that is not on the tips of the tongues of people who are recovering from those conditions, you know?
Interesting. And, you know, the way I look at it, even from hearing Jeff's story and, of course, your description, Tom, is that the whole secret, which I perceive that Western medicine is not looking into as clearly as they should, probably because it's not as profitable, is that the human system is a system. And if it's looked at from a procedural, holistic view, you can have better quality care, probably more affordable by virtue of it. And as such, even a higher quality of life and more longevity compared to the way that things are already in place. I think it's what makes the condition invisible even more so, it's almost forced to stay invisible. That's what I'm perceiving. Please tell me if I'm wrong, because I don't want to issue anything without.
God, I would love to hear Jeff's opinion on that. But I do think we have a society that's like, can I mask the symptoms? Right. If I can't fix it, right, this drug will at least take that away. And in some cases, that is literally putting electrical tape over the check engine light in your car. Right. You'll be fine until you're not.
Exactly.
You know, and. It's not a bad thing, because we don't want people suffering, right? If you're in a lot of pain and you need the painkiller to get by every day, I'm not shaming you for that. The problem is when that is the only option and we don't have a long-term, you know, treatment plan to kind of get you back to, how do I feel without this? How do I go on day to day without having to drug myself up where I'm barely functional? And right. I'm not saying that's a, you know, hey, we're doing it right, they're doing it wrong kind of thing, because that's not an answerable, that is an N of one. That's a specific person and their decision, and talking with their healthcare team and how do you solve that is not a cookie cutter model.
No, it isn't. Well, you know, this is a perfect segue into our third section, which will cover all of the different things that I've been dealing with. But also, Jeff, I think that there is definitely a lot more to uncover and unpack. I want to hear more about your show, Invisible Conditions, because I think you have been unpacking them with your guests. But let's just go to the break, and then we can just start fresh in the next minute or two. So that being said, everyone, please stay tuned as we are being frank about invisible conditions right here on talkradio.nyc and on all of our socials. We will be back in a few.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Everybody, welcome back. Now, I guess I've already told both of you my story, but everyone who knows that I've been on talkradio.nyc for almost 5 years as of May 2026, that was actually, I would call, Frank About Health 2.0. I originally started with the network in 2016, almost 10 years ago, and it was all dedicated to epilepsy. The name of the show was going to be called Frank About Epilepsy. Why? Because for me, living with epilepsy was a constant struggle. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate that. But the truth is I was literally being stigmatized. I was either known as lazy, stupid, a drug addict, absent-minded, every name in the book, people were trying to get at me because they couldn't perceive why I would all of a sudden have a convulsion on the floor in front of them, or why I would be staring at them and I wouldn't even know how to process a word. I would be twitching and making reactions that came out of nowhere, or I would switch in mid-sentence what I was talking about because a misfiring was occurring on my left temporal lobe. So what I was living with was not only trying to find the treatment to stop the seizures, but I was living with the constant attacks, ridicule, isolation, and other kinds of things. And that, to me, was more emotionally upsetting or more painful than the condition itself. I was used to living with epilepsy. I started at age 16 with it. That's over 40 years ago. The thing is, though, that those last 10 years prior to launching the podcast, I had faced more emotional and traumatic abuse from people, because it's very interesting how when you are aware of your invisible condition, yet me not communicating it, I'm living my life, but in a way that's unexplainable to people. They don't understand why I may be stochastic or maybe hiding certain information or giving an excuse for something that is more serious than it should be. So you end up with a new character description that isn't even true. So being that my name is Frank, I wanted to be truthful about epilepsy. All right. Yes, I have it. And this is why, and this is what we're going to do about it. Of course, thanks to Sam Leibowitz at talkradio.nyc. There was a marketing issue here. I'm only going to attract epileptic viewers or epileptic doctors, or I'm not going to really get the community that I'm reaching. So we called it Frank About Health. And by virtue of releasing to the public about epilepsy and other health issues along the way, especially when COVID came to town, I was able to be a better version of myself than I would have been if I didn't disclose epilepsy at all. So I guess that's kind of the secret in having an invisible illness. If you notice it being what people would perceive as a liability or a weakness, but it actually is your strength that you can manifest into something that helps the larger community, that's when you can use it as an asset rather than the stigma that everyone wants you to believe it is, or the liability that everyone wants you to believe it is. So that being said, I look at epilepsy as just preliminary invisible illness. Something like you, Jeff, what you have is very serious. I've even seen it displayed on my favorite show, Grey's Anatomy, I think season 1 or 2. You know, if you ever watch the show, Derek Shepherd was operating on a person that had to get a shunt replacement for hydrocephalus. And I did remember in that storyline, the post-op reactions, he was very angry at his children. He didn't even know they were his children. But the point is that whole aphasia or that whole post-operative reaction was only settled after everything went back to normal and he was healing. Similar to what you said, Tom, and the role that you play, helping patients heal quicker through your acupuncture and stuff like that. The whole thing is holistic and community-based, but to have an understanding of empathy within individuals who don't understand, I guess, is the challenge. And I would say all three of us have been able to try to capitalize on those challenges by creating platforms, as we each have, as one measure of owning your healthcare. But I would like to know, Jeff, in particular, if you had something that people could see, especially the doctors. I don't think you've had the kind of stigmas that I faced, but you must have had some other social challenges that maybe you wanted to combat. And I gather that's probably discussed in your show, Invisible Conditions. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, I'll say this. I have had things over my lifetime. Like, for instance, the trauma to the brain at such a young age actually caused me to have a really lazy eye when I was a kid. And so that was noticeable, you know, and I've had 2 eye surgeries to attempt to correct it. It kind of went a different way, but I don't have time to talk about that, but two eye surgeries later, it's not quite as bad as it was, but that definitely affected me when I was a kid. Nobody likes to be, you know, stared at and pointed at, and, you know, especially when you're a kid in elementary school. My most recent brain surgery in 2021, all four of them in the last 12 years have left me with some pretty wicked side effects. And some of them were visible from the outside and some of them weren't. Everything from I had nonstop migraines, like 24/7 nonstop migraines for about a year following brain surgeries I had in 2014. And then I had large motor tics that looked like the entire right side of my body was just shaking all the time after the 2021 surgery. And thankfully, and this is something I wanted to address because of something you said, Tom, you're talking about the different worlds, right? The medical world and the alternative world that people call it, alternative world. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for both. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't cranial sacral your way out of brain surgery for hydrocephalus. You know what I'm saying? Like you have to go to the you have to have a neurosurgeon and an anesthesiologist and the whole team and an abdominal surgeon and you can't just, you know, acupuncture your way out of that. Sometimes you have to have surgery. That being said, in 2014, I had nonstop migraines for a year after that surgery, like 24/7. What got rid of them? A chiropractic neurologist and neurofeedback. Mm-hmm. Those two things, neurofeedback after a month of that, gone. Migraines were gone. Awesome. I've never had another one like it. Same thing with the most recent one in 2021. I had that large motor tics all the way down my right side of my body, the filter in the brain that blocks out background noise, gone. It was a mess. Pressure point therapy on the vagus nerve. Mm. Somebody just went down all up and down my body and took it serious on that vagus nerve and it hurt, but those tics are gone and the filter is back. So it's surgery has kept me alive. Yes. You know, Western medicine has kept me alive. The alternative world that people talk about is what gave me my life back. Like that is what has helped me to integrate back into society and be able to function again. If I had listened in 2014, I'd probably still be on the couch with migraines, taking a pretty heavy dose of pain meds. But I wanted to explore and see if we could make it better. So the options are out there, you know. So I'm sorry, that went off topic from your question.
That was perfect, man.
I loved it. And it reminds me of why I did acupuncture too, because I knew that the different types of meridians or whatever they call them all over the wrists and the mm-hmm. ankles and even in the middle of the forehead, I would come out of there with more energy, and I felt a slowness or rhythm in my whole brain processes. Yeah. So it was doing its part. And by the way, Tom, that guy you referred me to, I haven't heard back from him, but you know, it's been bad weather and stuff.
So I think he's actually in Santa Fe this weekend teaching a seminar. So.
No bad weather there
in the spring.
Just so you know. No, but hey, I'm sure he's not snubbing you.
No. I know that. It was a little digression. Forgive me. I didn't mean that because I wanted to get back to Jeff and your show, Invisible Conditions. Yeah. Can you explain about how your show helps you communicate about your condition with your guests? Or maybe they talk about other invisible conditions that we haven't covered.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. Yeah, so every Tuesday and Friday at noon Eastern, we're on for an hour. And the idea behind the show was that we knew we couldn't call it the hydrocephalus hour, similar to you not being able to call it the epilepsy hour. Like, we knew that probably people wouldn't tune in after very long, you know. So right. We decided to open it up and kind of generalize it a little bit. And there are so many invisible conditions out there. We knew we wouldn't have a shortage. The caveat is that people that I have on my show, I want to be having people on the show that are living and yet thriving despite that invisible condition. I've been that guy that's on the couch in pain constantly all the time. I wouldn't have wanted to be on a TV show if I was in that shape. Right. So I don't want to bring people on that are in that much of a problem phase during their condition, right? So I want to bring them on after they've figured out what to do and they're in that thriving phase, right? So maybe they've figured out the right mix of medication for that bipolar diagnosis they got, and now they're a world-class speaker, or they're a best-selling author, or they're, you know, they've figured out how to control that fibromyalgia, and now they're, you know, created an organization to help others. Like, those are the kind of guests that we have, and it's awesome. And I have had so many amazing guests. Tom's been a guest. Frank's going to be a guest. Yes. I've had so many incredible people on the show. I even had my wife and oldest daughter, who remembers all that craziness back in 2014 and 2018, and and talked about her perspective watching Dad go through all that. I mean, we've had some crazy topics on the show, and it's been so cool. And I learn something new every single time, no matter who is on the show, because everybody's story is so different and so inspiring that it's I always leave recording a show feeling better, no matter what. It's just so fun to hear stories. So
that being said, I won't go too much on this show about epilepsy, because I want to save it for when I appear on your show. But at the same time, one fundamental reality that I could say about epilepsy, which probably mirrors even your condition, hydrocephalus, is that we are living with symptom management throughout our whole lives. But it really, like the epileptic brain, my brain is not acting in the normal pathways, and I'm consciously speaking with you right now. So the seizure is the symptom.
Yes.
It's not the core illness that everybody thinks it is. And therefore, when you have a convulsion, you're no longer worthy of getting the job you want, or you're no longer worthy of getting the right social support programs because you don't qualify based on how old you are, or when was your onset? Is it genetically based? Was it due to being in a coma, or did you have brain surgery, or whatever the situation is?
Yeah.
The stigma is all based on the viewpoint that I perceive. People view the symptom as the illness and not the attributes of the person that, okay, if you have epilepsy, or you have hydrocephalus, or you have autism, or you have whatever, okay, so you're going to live differently than a lot of other people. Show us your worth that can help contribute. That whole discussion is what I look forward to sharing on your show.
Totally. And that reminds me, so everybody's seen this, everybody listening, everybody watching has seen this. So you pull up to you're sitting in the supermarket parking lot. You see the car pull into the handicapped spot with the plates. Like, they're legit. They have the plates. Okay. They see the guy get out, guy, girl, whoever, get out, kind of walk briskly into the store, walk back out with their groceries, put them in the car and leave. What's your first thought? If you're not like sensitively minded about this, your first thought is that jerk stole grandma's car with the handicap plate so they can park closer to the supermarket. But what you don't realize is maybe that person has fibromyalgia. Maybe they have chronic fatigue syndrome and they had to take a 2-hour nap and take an extra dose of meds to get the energy to do that errand. And then they're going to go home and crash for the rest of the day. That's the only outing they could have the strength for. That's the kind of awareness that people don't have. So that's the kind of thing we like to bring light to on Invisible Condition. So because people everywhere are dealing with this, and they're being awesome in spite of it.
Well, we're about to take our final break, but I want to respond to Jesse, who is a DID system, by the way, 18 personalities. And he was on Frank About Health about 2 years ago talking about the system. And it's interesting. Now it's 22 personalities, according to what I just found out. And what makes it invisible is that the one host personality that we all see is the one we identify and relate to. But she has been able to have it under control in a way so that she can use the talents of each personality to present as an integrated individual. And that it's an invisible condition, but it's a perfect segue for the final segment of the show, because the common thread in all of these conditions is the brain is the core of it all. And that being said, just please stay tuned for the next scene. This is talkradio.nyc, Frank About Health, and we'll be back in a few. On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. As I had said prior to the final commercial break, the brain is in control of the illnesses that are rendered invisible. If you have autism spectrum disorder, if you have DID, if you have hydrocephalus, if you have epilepsy, if you have chronic fatigue syndrome, if you have anything else that we have already mentioned, even but briefly, it is all stemming from the brain's reactions through inflammation, through surgeries, through genetic programming, through other kinds of mental and neurological changes that may have happened in utero. In fact, I just showed you a clip from a movie called Invisible on Amazon Prime by director Matthew Michael Ross, who features a kind of like an adventure mystery of an individual who is suffering from CRPS, which is a neurodegenerative disease. I forgot what the acronym stands for, but forgive me. The thing is what is interesting, as you, the viewer, are watching this movie, you see the lead character, who goes by the name of CB, looking for his friend Adam. You find out at the end of the movie, he is Adam. His CRPS was not treated, was not represented correctly. He started becoming drug addicted. He started becoming homeless. He was having bouts with his girlfriend, who he didn't recognize anymore. The whole myriad of neurological changes that were occurring because what originally began as stiffness in his joints and other kinds of untreated symptoms, it went to the brain, and he developed a disassociation from his own identity. And when you realize at the end of it that he realizes that he was the person, he gets the treatment he needs, he joins the community support groups that he was supposed to begin with, and then he rebuilds his life and moves forward. The interesting narrative in that movie, and most directors, I guess, do this in Hollywood or even in the independent film market, is they let the audience decide what they're watching. Now, if you are people like us, healthcare advocates, podcasters, television showrunners, whatever, all trying to erase the stigmas or the invisibility of such conditions, you're going to be looking at, okay, what message are you doing? You're not discussing the illness, but you're showing me a person with it. So you're educating the individual viewer how to remove the stigma through lived experience. Now, I would highly recommend this movie for those of you out there that want to see how a person's life struggles have been due to not managing or even being aware of his illness of CRPS. However, not everybody is fortunate enough to all of a sudden confront the condition. Some people end up homeless and eventually die off from it without resolution. But we're not focused on that. We're focused on activating awareness in each of us that might be suffering from some condition, whether or not we have any evidence of it. Always do what you can to speak to your primary care physician or your specialist or your acupuncturist, you know, so that you could really get the whole 360 view. That's a metaphor, Jeff. The whole 360 view of your life, who you are. We've talked during the last 45 minutes about Eastern medicine versus Western medicine. How about your own self-advocacy medicine and choosing one or the other or both? That's the whole nature of it. I think we lost Jeff. But I at the same time, we're still running. So I hope he finds his way back on. But the thing is in terms of being able to go ahead and understand invisible conditions, a lot of it really stems from making oneself aware. I hate to say this, Tom, but I think I lost my way after we lost Jeff.
That's all right. You kind of wrapped it up there. I think.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. So,
but
I don't know what to do in this particular case. I guess,
you know, this is when technology, it doesn't have its advantages, and it's nice to be in the same room with somebody.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Oof. That's a lot. That's what I see he commented on. And okay, that's about the alters. All right, complex regional pain syndrome. Yes, that's what it is. And essentially, I found it to be a very influential film. But I guess if you're in the entertainment industry, you're going to take a look at it from a critic's point of view, or you know how the entertainment value of it. If you are in the medical profession, you might be able to look at it as a model to help illustrate whenever you're working with fellow colleagues and. Mm-hmm. And probably teach them about an experience of someone with CRPS, you know, and things like that. But it is also emphasizing what I said earlier, that movie Invisible is a must-see, especially when you want to know the in-depth nuances of one's brain and how it influences personality and lifestyle and, of course, treatment. You know, I think we still have time on the show. I don't know, Jesse, what do you think we should do? Are you able to get Jeff back on? Ah,
there he just texted me. He said his laptop died.
Ah, you had your battery fall out, Jeff? Is that what happened? Oh, you have to unmute.
I don't know what the heck happened there. I thought it was plugged in, but apparently not. So that was my fault.
I'm glad we still have I think 3 or 4 minutes left. I thought we lost you for the rest of the show.
No, you're good. No, I was quick, man. Sorry about that. My fault. No,
awesome. Awesome. And Tom said that I finished my point of view by the time you got off the phone. I hope not invisible and CRPS was clear for you as well.
Oh, man. So what did I miss?
Just recap it.
Okay. So, to recap, this past hour, we've been talking with both Jeff Pearson and Tom Ingenio about invisible conditions. We've talked about Jeff's Invisible Conditions show on E360 TV, available on your Roku devices, your Amazon Fire Stick, or even on the internet. Simultaneously, we've talked about my experience with epilepsy, as most of my viewers already know, and how I've manifested it into this platform, Frank About Health. And we've talked about how I will be on Jeff's show in the near future to really discuss how I've manifested it into a career driver. And that's my way of advocating for my invisible condition. It's an issue of lifestyle that I've been forced to live with, but I'm glad to live with it because it's giving me rewards that I never anticipated. So that being said, I think each of us that deal with conditions such as yourself, Jeff, are doing our best to manifest the kind of world we were meant to live or the kind of life we were meant to live based on our limitations as well. It's part of our toolbox now rather mm-hmm. than being the weight to bring us down or drag us down, you know? And then I close the show out by talking about a movie, Invisible, by director Matthew Michael Ross, available on Amazon Prime Video. And has won a lot of festival circuit awards and is getting a lot of notoriety in the independent film market, showing the lifestyle of a person who was suffering from complex regional pain syndrome. Nice. And each of these invisible conditions is just putting a emphasis on how they really begin with the human brain. And if everyone is more aware of how powerful this 3-pound organ is, it can help answer all the questions in the world about various conditions, not just the physical ones, but also the invisible ones. And I did say on my last episode of Frank About Health, I showed a clip about Oprah Winfrey on The View talking about GLP-1 drugs. They're saying that even though people are taking those drugs to lose weight or to prevent diabetes, it now is completely revamping our healthcare systems and are Western healthcare cures for things like cardiac illness, prevention of Alzheimer's disease or dementia. None of that is FDA approved yet or whatever, but they're saying that they have the power to influence our healthcare system internally because GLP is a neurotransmitter in the brain. So I guess that's another reason why I brought that up. It's showing again how the brain helps govern our healthcare in our personal lives and in our advocacy work. All righty. I guess that's pretty much the nuts and bolts mm-hmm. of this episode of Frank About Health. I am so grateful to both of you, Jeff and Tom, for being here on this show. Would either of you, because we have 2 minutes before we end, would either of you like to talk about other work that is coming up in your podcast?
You know, Frank, I think we another mutual of ours, Todd Otten, yes. is having his movie screening in Baltimore this March. And it's all about practitioner burnout. You know, you guys are really going deep on the patient side, but people need to know that practitioners are hurting too. Yes. So suck it up, Buttercup. Go ahead and go to their website, or you can go to our podcast's website to buy tickets for this on March 19th.
Love it.
Oh, the tickets are on sale now?
Yes, we just got them up.
It's a great title.
Awesome. It really is.
I love it.
Excuse me.
I love it.
I'm getting over that. Awesome. At the same time, Jeff, I think I'll email you as to what dates in February look good for me to be on.
That'll work. I'll send you a calendar. We'll figure it out. Don't worry about that. The last thing I want to say, though, for everybody is like, no matter what condition you're dealing with, life doesn't have to be perfect to be awesome. So you don't have, I don't care what you're living with. Please don't wait for it to be perfect. Get out there and do your stuff. Do your thing. Rock it. Doesn't have to be perfect to be awesome. So.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, thank you again, both of you. Thank you, Jesse, behind the scenes. Thank you to everyone watching this episode. It'll immediately be available on YouTube. And I will be back next week with another episode of Frank About Health. And I will have cleared my throat by then. And everybody, thank you again. We will see you all next week. On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.